Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parsha Shelach, and the title of the shiur tonight is The Decision to Send Spies. So tonight we're going to look at the beginning of the parsha and try to understand why Moshe sent out the spies in the first place to spy out Eretz Yisrael. And of course it led to this massive onesh, punishment, and flaw in Klal Yisrael. But the question that we're going to start with, that we're going to take up, is why did Moshe send them out in the first place? What was the purpose of it? So if you look in source number one, beginning of our parsha, it says as follows, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Shlach lecha anashim v'yasiru esaret kenana asher ani nosein levnei Yisrael, isha echad l'matei avosav tishlachu, kol nasi vahem. So send out men in order to spy out Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Kenan. Each person, one man per tribe, and each one should be the head of the tribe. And Moshe sends them out from Midbar Paran, based on the mouth of Hashem, Pi Hashem, and they were all these, the heads of Klal Yisrael, they're the heads of the Jewish people. So it sounds like from the Psukim themselves that Hashem was involved in sending them, because it starts with Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor, and also sounds like Moshe was on board. So the question is, why did they send the spies out in the first place? There was a lot of issues once the spies went into Eretz Yisrael and came back. So what was the reason for sending the spies? So if you look in Rashi, in source number 2, Rashi says as follows. The first Rashi, we're not going to take up inside, but we might as well read it. Shlach lecha anashim. Lama nismecha parshas meraglim leparshas miriam. So why does the Torah put the story of the Meraglim, the spies, next to the story of Miriam, which is in last week's Parsha, to teach us an idea that the spies saw what happened to Miriam, and nevertheless, they had the same flaw, similar flaw. They spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael regarding Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so let's go on. So we're not going to spend time on that Rashi, but it's an important Rashi. So if we keep going, look at the next Rashi in source number 2. It says, Shlach lecha, ledaitcha, based on your reasoning. Meaning Hashem was saying to Moshe, it's your decision. Ani eini mitzava lecha. I'm not going to command you to send out spies. Im tirtza, shlach, if you want to send them. Why? Lefisha bo Yisrael v'amru. In Devarim, it says, it gives more detail into the story of the Meraglim. And the Jews came to Moshe and they said, Nishlecha anashim lefanenu. So the Jews requested from Moshe that he send out spies. Kamash ne'emar v'atikrivune lai kulchem, as it says in Devarim. U'Moshe nimlach b'shchina, and Moshe asked Hashem whether this was a good idea or not. Amar ani amarti lahem shehi tova. Hashem says back to Moshe, I told them that the land is good. So there's really no reason for them to spy out the land. Sh'ne'emar ale eschem ani mitzrayim. Hashem promised that the land was going to be a good land. So Hashem says to Moshe, I'm not going to command you to send them because I'm not going to give them, or I'm not going to be the cause of this situation where they lose the land, and therefore they won't inherit it if they make a mistake. So Hashem was not mitzaveh because he knew what was going to happen, or he knew this possibility, and he didn't command Moshe to send out the spies, according to Rashi. But he said it was okay. He said it's up to you. And look in source number 3. It says, Al pi Hashem. Bereshuso shelo ikev al yado. Hashem didn't stop Moshe. Kulam anashim. Kol anashim shebemikro lashon chashiva. So uso shak sherem hayu. So he sent out these important men. So the question that we have to ask is, what's this idea of that Hashem's, with regard to Hashem's involvement in sending the spies out? Because on the one hand, Rashi's saying that Hashem didn't think it was a good idea. In fact, he says, I told them that it was going to be good, so there's no reason for it. But on the other hand, he's not stopping this from happening. He doesn't tell Moshe, don't send them. So the question is, why not? It seems kind of odd, because Moshe's nimloch b'shchina, he's asking Hashem for advice on what they should do, and Hashem's not telling him, don't go. He's saying, you know, on the one hand, I'm not going to stop you, but I don't think it's a great idea. So the question is, how do we understand the approach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what he's telling Moshe? Why doesn't he tell Moshe, don't do it? I mean, it's a terrible idea. Bad things are going to happen. You know, why doesn't he stop it? Of course, you could say that Hashem gives man free choice, but still, when Moshe is asking for advice from Hashem, you'd think that Hashem would tell him honestly that he shouldn't send them. But yet, it says, Bereshuso, that he didn't say not to, and he didn't tell him he can't send them. So that's one question that we're going to try to take up. So the first question is, was that, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to add a question.
Sure. Okay, good question. So, yeah, it does sound... Good question. So you're saying it sounds like a command from the language, but Rashi says it's not a command. So it's a good question. So why does the Torah... why does the Torah say it like that? So that's excellent. I think we can answer that. I think we'll answer that, but a great question. Okay, excellent. So that's another question. So we have one question. One question is, what kind of idea is it that Hashem, on the one hand, you know, wasn't endorsing this move, but on the other hand, he didn't stop it. And the second is, it sounds like from the psukim that the nature of this was like a command. It sounds like a command. So what exactly is going on here? That's a question. Okay? So let's look at the Gemara. And in source number 4, Rashi's just, he's coming from the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Shlach lecha on Hashem. Amar Reish Lakish, Shlach lecha midaitcha. Same thing as Rashi. So Hashem's saying, Shlach lecha, that you should send on your own reasoning. It's your choice. V'chi adam zeh boreh chelek ra la'atmo. Is man going to choose a bad portion for himself? V'hainu dechsiv v'yitav be'enai hadavar. Amar Reish Lakish be'enai v'lo be'enav shalmakom. So the Gemara says that this wasn't a good idea in the eyes of Hashem, but it was a good idea in the eyes of Moshe. That's what the Gemara says. So look in source number 5. Midaitcha, it's Rashi on the Gemara. Ani eini mitzave oscha. Same as Rashi in the Torah. It's based on the Gemara and Sota. I'm not going to command you. Aval Yisrael heim omrim lecha, kedechsev atirkavuna laikulchem, ani eni ma'ake v'yadcha. So Hashem says that the Jews are asking you to do this. I'm not going to stop you. So again, it's the same question as before. But now also, in addition to those questions that we asked before, what was Hashem's role in sending out the spies based on Rashi and the Gemara? Now what's Moshe's idea? Because it sounds like from the Gemara that Moshe was okay with it. So what did Moshe think in his mind to indicate that this was a good idea if Hashem really wasn't so positive? Look at the next Rashi. It's Klum Yesh Adam, Klomar Ima Kadosh Baruch Hu Tziva, Klum Ya Omer Lo Lasos Davar Shesofo Lavo Lidei Takala. So Hashem's not going to command them because it's not going to be that Hashem leads them to this destruction. Takala is, bad things happening. So that's why it's on a Tzivoy, because Hashem saw that this potential would occur, that the Jews would sin and that they would lose an opportunity to get Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem, in the Gemara, Hashem's saying, I'm not going to command them. But on the other hand, he didn't stop them. So again, question is, why didn't he stop them? And also, why does the Torah sound like it's a command? And furthermore, the last question that we're going to take up is, what was Moshe's opinion of this situation? Was Moshe for sending the spies out? Or was he really forced into sending them out? So what exactly? It sounds from the Gemara like he was for this idea, and it wasn't, because it says, Vayitav be'enai hadavar, that it was good in the eyes of Moshe, but Reish Lakish says, be'enai v'lo be'enav shalmakom. So that's the question. So what was Moshe's approach to this? So we're going to have one idea to explain Rashi, one insight. But if you look in the Tosos HaRosh on this Gemara, he quotes both sides of the story. He says in source number 6, it says, Vayitav be'enai v'lo be'enai hamakom. So he's also puzzled by this Gemara. It sounds like Moshe was okay with it. He was actually in favor of it. The Midrash Ka'amar she'af b'enei Moshe lo yatov. In the Midrash, it says that even Moshe didn't think this was a good idea. Ela mashal la'adam she'amar l'chaveiro. So what was going on here? We'll see this in Rashi himself, but it was a mashal that a man says to his friend, machor li chamorcha, sell me your donkey. Amar lohein. So he says, okay, I'll sell you my donkey. Amar lo ritzoncha she'anasenu. So he says, do you want to test it? Do you want that I should test it out, the donkey? Amar lo bahar v'bika. So the guy with the donkey says, of course, you can test it out wherever you want. You can go on the mountains, in the valleys. Amar lo kevan she'encha mocha al yadi imkein lo anasenu. So the guy who wants to buy the donkey says, since I know that you're not afraid to rent him out, to have him tested out, I can trust you that this donkey is good. It's like a car salesman. So when a person sells a car, you ask him, can I test it out? If the car salesman says, sure, of course, then you know that the car is good. He's not afraid to test it out. Same thing over here. Kachaya Moshe Savor. So this was Moshe's logic. Kishe Yomar Moshe L'shaleach Meraglim. When Moshe thought, if he said, send out the spies, he said to the spies, go ahead. Yaminu Yisrael, then they would believe him because he was okay with it. V'yimnu l'shloach. Moshe believed that they would not want to go at that point. Meaning all he had to do was show them, like the car salesman, that he's okay with them going, and then they wouldn't go. V'hanu d'kamar v'yitav b'enai sh'na'osi l'divrayem b'masha amru l'shloach. He says, I gave into their request to send out. Ki ha'isi sover shlo yishluchu. I thought that they would back down. V'lo b'enai amakom ki hikir machshavosam. So this was good in the eyes of Moshe, meaning he didn't really want them to go, but he had this plan that they were going to ask him, and he was going to say, go ahead, and then they were going to back down. So what kind of plan is that of Moshe? That's a strange plan. And of course, Hashem knew that this was a bad idea. But the pshat is that it wasn't good. So it's funny, the Gemara says that it was good in the eyes of Moshe, but the Tosafot Rush says that deep down inside it really wasn't good because he really didn't want them to go and he was just setting them up so that they wouldn't end up going. So what was Moshe's feelings or thoughts with regard to sending out the spies? Aside from Hashem's logic and his advice to Moshe, what was Moshe's real thoughts? And it sounds contradictory because on the one hand, the Gemara is saying that it was good in the eyes of Moshe. He was positive in terms of sending them out, and then in the Medrash it says the opposite, that really, you know, he didn't think it was a good idea and he thought that they should have believed Hashem. So what was Moshe's idea also as well? That's another question. So one other question to add to this, and then we'll get to an idea. So one other question. So there's a Rashi a little bit later, just a couple of psukim later in our Parsha in Shlach, and we're going to analyze this also on its own, but it says Elish Moshe on Hashem Asher Shalach Moshe Lesoros Aretz Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea Ben Nun Yehoshua. So these were the individuals that Moshe sent out to spy, and then it says that Moshe called Hoshea Ben Nun Yehoshua. So at this point, the Torah tells us that Yehoshua's real name was Hoshea Ben Nun, and Moshe changes his name. So why did he change his name? So this is Rashi, look at source number 8. He says Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea Hispalo Olav. So he had to daven for Yehoshua. Call Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim, that Hashem, the Yud and the Hey, the Yud, should save you from the advice of the Meraglim. So what's strange? What's strange is that it sounds like from Rashi himself that Moshe really wasn't on board with this. On the one hand, the Gemara says that he was on board, but from this Rashi, it sounds like Moshe was aware of the intentions of the Meraglim, and he had to daven for Yoshua. So what did he really think was going on? Did he think this was a good idea or a bad idea, Moshe? And then furthermore, if he was so strong in his tefillah for Yehoshua that he shouldn't be influenced by the Meraglim, why didn't he stop them? Why didn't Moshe say to the Jewish people, this is a bad idea, you can't go? Why is it that he had this whole plan that he was going to say go, and then they were going to back down, and eventually they didn't back down, so Moshe should have said, listen, I really think this is a bad idea, and you shouldn't go. So why didn't Moshe do that? So there's a lot of questions here, plenty of questions. So let's look in Rashi in source number 9, and then we'll get to an idea for Rashi. The last Rashi I want to bring up is a Rashi in Devarim. It's similar to the Tosafot Rush. It's almost the same. It says, Vayitav be'enai adavar, be'enai v'lo be'enai amakom. In the eyes of Moshe, but not in the eyes of Hashem. Ve'im be'enai Moshe ayatov, lama amra betochachos. In Devarim, Moshe is giving rebuke to the Jews for the Meraglim. So if it was really good in his eyes, why is he rebuking them? So then he brings down this mashal. Mashal la'adam she'omer l'chaver o'machor li'chamor chazeh. It's the car salesman mashal. Sell me this donkey. Amar lohein. He says, okay. Nos no atali l'nisayon. Can I test drive the donkey? Amar lohein. So Moshe says, of course. The salesman says, of course. Bahar mugvaros. Even in the mountains and the valleys. Amar lohein. He says, sure. Go test him out. Kevan shirash ein ma'akvo klum. Once the guy who wanted to buy it saw that he wasn't holding back, that he's confident that there's no problem with this donkey, so too Moshe. So at that point, the guy who wants to buy the donkey says, okay, I'll give you the money. I don't need to test him out. I trust you. So Moshe is the same thing with the Meraglim. He thought that once they saw that Moshe was okay with it, that they would back down, but they didn't back down. But then again, the question is, why didn't Moshe stop them? So he saw that they didn't back down, but he should have stopped them. He should have said, it's a bad idea. Hashem says it's a bad idea. So why was Moshe for this plan? Okay, so those are all the questions. So again, let me just summarize the questions, and then if anybody wants to try a possibility, you know, be my guest. But the questions are as follows. the main question is, why were the spies sent? It sounds like from the Torah that it was really a tzivoy from Hashem. But Rashi says it wasn't a tzivoy. It was actually Hashem just didn't stop them. But he thought it was a bad idea. So if Hashem thought it was a bad idea, why didn't he stop them? Why wasn't he more adamant? And also, it sounds like from the Torah that it was a command. So why is the Torah writing it as if it were a tzivoy? It sounds like a tzivoy. Furthermore, what was Moshe's position? On the one hand, the Gemara says that it was good in the eyes of Moshe, but he had this weird plan that he was going to tell them to go, and then they were going to back down. But after they didn't back down, Moshe should have stopped them. He should have said, "It's crazy. You're making a mistake. Don't go." So why didn't he stop them? Was it really a good plan in Moshe's eyes, or not a good plan? So those are all the questions in the shiur tonight for the first part. So does anybody have any possibilities for an answer? So again, the questions are like, what was Hashem's position and what was Moshe's position in sending out the spies? What was the logic behind it?
Well, so for Moshe, maybe...
Yeah?
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
For Moshe, maybe, like, he thought that, you know, a salesperson, like, maybe would suspect them, but he thought Bnei Israel wouldn't suspect Hashem. But then once they accepted to actually do the spies, if he took it back, maybe it would make them more suspicious.
Okay.
But,
No, it's a good possibility, but had he known that this was going to produce such a bad effect in Klal Yisrael, I mean, this is really the downfall of the Jews in the desert because of this. I mean, he should have stopped them. If you knew that the Jews were going to have this situation where they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael and it was going to be so disastrous when they came back that the Jews would lose an opportunity to go into Eretz Yisrael, you know, why would you send them? You know, why wouldn't you say no, you know? That's the question.
Maybe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe he was worried that since they're already a little, I guess, suspicious of something, if the buyer asks the salesperson, can I test it, and the seller says no, then it can make the buyer more suspicious if they're already suspicious.
Okay.
So maybe they shouldn't have been suspicious in the first place, but if they already are, then it will make them even more if they're not allowed to.
So let's say it does make them suspicious. Okay, so at least you're still saving the Jewish people from this disastrous calamity. So they'll be suspicious, so they won't believe Moshe. But still, it's better than them going into Eretz Yisrael and creating this disastrous effect. That's what I think. I mean, and also, again, you're right. We have to answer the Moshe plan. What was the Moshe plan here? It's a strange plan. He should have just said yes or no. Why didn't he? You know, why did he want to set up the salesman's plan in order to prior to deciding whether to send out the spies or not? So I think there's an idea for Rashi. I just want to give a possibility for Rashi. And I think I have a proof from later on. I just didn't put it in the source sheets. But I think that there's one major issue with the Jews that left Mitzrayim that constantly pops up in throughout the Torah with regard to Moshe. And the clearest example is by the Egel. So by the Egel, what was the main flaw of the Jews? So the main flaw, without getting too in-depth and getting into too much detail, the main flaw was that the Jews were really tied to Moshe. They were unable to attach themselves to Hashem, and Moshe was, in their eyes, an intermediary, and it wasn't Avodah Zarah. According to the Ramban, I think it wasn't Avodah Zarah itself. It was Kederach Avodah Zarah. It was like they needed Moshe. They were completely dependent on Moshe. And in fact, Moshe recognized this because you see that he moved his tent away when he came down from Har Sinai, from the Jewish people, and he recognized the need to separate himself from the Jews because their dependence on him, on the one hand, was good, but it was also bad. They were dependent on him as a teacher, but they viewed him too much as someone who saved them, who took them out of Egypt. And really, the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was that they should attach their emotions to Hashem, to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to a leader like Moshe. And I think part of the flaw is tied to the slave mentality that they were never able to shed completely. But I think the main idea is that throughout the Torah, throughout the Midbar, that flaw seems to be consistent, that the Jews are really dependent on Moshe more so than they should be. And so what's the idea over here? So I think that the idea of Hashem and Moshe, you know, not stopping the Meraglim, but not endorsing it, was that on the one hand, the only thing you could say is that there was a potential here for a perfection, for a good thing to occur. Meaning, Hashem and Moshe they saw the potential for a flaw or for a fault to occur, but they also saw potential for a perfection to occur, for a benefit to occur. And that was that really the fact that if Moshe, the idea of Moshe is setting up this salesman situation is that Moshe was trying to get them to decide on Eretz Yisrael without him, meaning without his approval or disapproval. He wanted them to decide based on their attachment to Hashem. So that was the idea that Moshe said to them, either go, he says to them, do you really want to go? Then go. Meaning, if they decide not to go, so then they're really batuach b'Hashem. It's demonstrating that they're removing an attachment that they have to Moshe and making all their decisions, and they're attaching it to Hashem. So that's really a good thing. That's a perfection. And if they, and also, even if they go into Eretz Yisrael itself, Moshe saw the potential of going into Eretz Yisrael and coming back and praising the land of Eretz Yisrael as a chance for the Jewish people to finally separate themselves from him as a leader. And Moshe saw that, he understood that this flaw existed, and he also understood that if the Jews were going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they would have to remove their complete allegiance to him and attach themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But because of Moshe's charisma and his personality and his image in the eyes of the Jewish people, and he took them out of Mitzrayim, even though it was really Hashem, it was really difficult for the Jews to separate themselves from Moshe. So the idea over here, I think Rashi's pointing out, is on the one hand, Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they recognize the potential for a failed, for a failure, and it was disastrous in the end. But on the other hand, they didn't stop them because they saw a potential perfection as well. They saw a potential good. And the good was that if the Jews had gone in, if the people, the leaders had gone into Eretz Yisrael and then came back and galvanized the Jewish people into going into Eretz Yisrael, then it really would have shifted the leadership to the other people other than Moshe, and would have shifted the relationship and the security to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and less so than Moshe. So Moshe was trying to give the Jewish people an opportunity to remove themselves or separate themselves from him, in terms of, because it was, even in Moshe's eyes, he saw the danger in staying attached to him and being too attached to him. That's not really what Torah is about. Torah and Judaism is about us relating to Hashem as the primary source of power and strength and security, and not to any individual. So on the one hand, Moshe was important to them, and he should have been like their Rebbe and their teacher, but on the other hand, they related to him improperly. And Moshe saw this opportunity of the spies. He saw the negativity, he saw the potential flaw that could emerge, but he also saw perfection that could have emerged, which is that had the spying, A, had they not gone into Eretz Yisrael and not spied, it would have been a great thing because they would have been batuach b'Hashem. But he even saw that if they had gone into Eretz Yisrael, there was a potential for the leaders, these new leaders of the next generation, to establish their own leadership and also galvanize the Jewish people and have them excited about going into Eretz Yisrael outside of Moshe, without Moshe's involvement. And that was important to Moshe. Moshe saw this as a necessary element in terms of the Jews going into Eretz Yisrael. They needed to separate themselves from him. But of course, so what's my proof? The proof is that I believe in the Onesh, Rashi says over there, there's a Gemara, it says that the Onesh for the Meraglim wasn't just for the Meraglim, but it was also for the Egel. Meaning the fact that the Jews lost out on going into Eretz Yisrael was not just because of the Meraglim, but it was also for the Egel itself. Rashi says that openly in the Psukim and Shlach. So what he's showing you is that the same flaw that existed with the Jewish people by the Egel was the same flaw that, and I gave a share on this a couple years ago, but it was the same flaw that the Jews manifested in going into Eretz Yisrael. It was a lack of security. Of course, they had too much security in Moshe, and they were unable to completely separate from that. And that's, so there's a connection between the two events. It's not just that the Onesh occurred because of the Egel and also because of the Meraglim, but it's showing you a connection between the two. That in both situations, the Jews really demonstrated an inability to separate themselves from the security of Moshe and attach it to God, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the same thing by the Meraglim as well. However, so I think this explains it. So however, Hashem and Moshe, they both on the one hand saw the potential flaw that would emerge, but they didn't stop them because they also knew that there was a perfection that could have emerged. There was a potential greatness that could have emerged from the situation. So they didn't. So on the one hand, Moshe davened for Yehoshua because he saw the possibility of this being disastrous. But on the other hand, Vayitav Be'enai, it was a good thing in his eyes. There was some, and even Hashem didn't stop them because there was some benefit, some potential great perfection that could have emerged had it gone properly. It just didn't go properly. It didn't go well. So that's the idea in Rashi. So Rashi is complex because he's showing you. That's why I think it sounds like a tzivoy a little bit, because on the one hand, there was the idea that it sounds like a tzivoy is that there was a potential perfection or great perfection of the Jews as a whole that could have emerged. And Hashem recognized that too. Of course, Hashem knew this potential, but also there was a danger. So it was, on the one hand, he wasn't mitzaveh because of the danger, but on the other hand, he didn't stop them because maybe this would turn out right. Maybe this would turn out great for the Jewish people. Same thing with Moshe. Moshe wanted the Jews to separate themselves from him. He wanted them to not go in, but based on a trust and a security in Hashem, not in Moshe. And even if they did go in, there still could have been a possibility of these new leaders, these great men, you know, possibly coming back and really separating the Jews from Moshe and attaching them to Hashem and trusting in Hashem and in the greatness of going into Eretz Yisrael. But of course, the opposite occurred. So I think that's what Rashi is showing you, that there's a complexity here. This was a Bechira moment. This was a free choice moment for the Jews as a whole and for the Meraglim. They could have chosen to do great, and they could have chosen to really prepare the Jews for going into Eretz Yisrael by, you know, kind of separating the security that they had in Moshe to and placing it within God. But the opposite could have taken place. It could have they demonstrated a complete insecurity when they came back from Eretz Yisrael. And that was the flaw. Okay, any questions? Okay, great. Okay, so one other shita, the Ramban, is much more practical. I didn't want to skip over the Ramban. There's not much to define here, but it's important to see the Ramban himself, what his approach is. So he has a different approach than Rashi. He asks all these questions on Rashi. And he says in source number 10, Aval Yishuva Inyan Bezeh, what's the answer? What's the idea of the spies? Ki Yisrael Amru, Ki Derech Kol Abayim Lehilachim Be'eretz Nachriya, Shesholchim Lefneim Anashim Adas Adrachim, Umavo Aarem, Uveshuvam Yelchu Atarim Berosh Hatzava, Lohoros Lefneim Hadrachim. So what was this? This was a military spying. So according to the Ramban, the Jewish people, in Moshe's eyes, they weren't asking. They were asking because they wanted to prepare for war. You're not supposed to be so mechal anes. Whenever you fight, you're supposed to have a strategy. And the purpose of the spying was, according to the Ramban, and sending out the spies, was simply to give them a military strategy in order to conquer the land. Ke'inyan shenamar, look in the Ramban in the second line. As it says in Shoftim, Harini nos mevo'ir, v'shiyitinu lam itza be'ezo ir yilachmu t'chilo me'ezo tzadiyah. In Shoftim, they're constantly asking for, they constantly want to know militarily what the best way to go into the city is, and they want advice, and how, and me'ezet tzadiyah noach lichboshes arts, which way should you go in that will make it easier to conquer? V'kach amru b'feirish, it says this openly, v'yashivu son of devar sederach asher nalabel v'es ha'arim, so he brings devarim as a proof for this, klomar ha'arim asher novo alein t'chilo misham novo b'chlarts, they wanted to know what areas they should go in first, and then they will go into Eretz Yisrael. V'zu eitzah haguna b'chol kovshi artos. This is legitimate knowledge. So according to the Ramban, the intent of initially, or what Moshe believed, was that this was a military mission, that they wanted to scout out the land so that when they went in, they would know what to do. So really, and that happens all the time throughout Nach. V'chein asa od Moshe atmo. Moshe himself did this. Shneamar v'yishlach Moshe l'ragelis yazir. He sends out spies by when they were not in Eretz Yisrael, but on the other side of the Yarden. V'chein v'Yoshua b'Nun. Yoshua also sent out spies. Shnaim anashim meraglim. In the beginning of Yoshua. V'alkein ayatov b'enei Moshe. This is why it was good in the eyes of Moshe. Ki akasav lo yismoch b'chol masav al anes. You can't rely on anes. Avayitzaveh b'nil chamim lehilachet to lishamer v'lerov. You have to be smart. You have to be a smart military. Kasher bo akasav b'nil chemes ha'ay. Shehaisal pi Hashem uv'mokomos rabim. So there are many situations where you ask Hashem if this is a good idea, but you send in spies because you can't rely on Nes. So same thing, this is what Moshe thought was going on. Az nimlach Moshe b'shchina, and that's why Moshe asked Hashem, v'noson lo Hashem r'shus, v'amr lo shlach l'chon Hashem yasur saraz kanan, v'yadu av yagidu l'chem v'alpiyem tis yatsu b'inan akibush. So really Hashem was allowing them to go based on the idea that it was a military mission. And Moshe also had this in mind, and of course Moshe was wrong, and there was a mistake here, but the purpose of, in Moshe's eyes, the purpose of sending out the spies was really for military reasons, to scout out the area so that the Jews would be prepared when they went into Eretz Yisrael as to which city to conquer first and second and third. So it's very different. And then in source number 11, the Ramban quotes the Medrash that really Moshe was, you know, he really did, he didn't want to send them out. But the main idea in the Ramban is that the Ramban argues with Rashi. Rashi's saying that this wasn't a military mission in the eyes of Moshe. Moshe saw this as a mission that could achieve a certain greatness or perfection in the Jews by separating them from the security they got in him. And he thought that he didn't think it was a great idea, and he saw the potential for a flaw here. But on the other hand, he saw a potential of greatness or perfection. The Ramban's saying otherwise. The Ramban's saying that Moshe really was blinded to the fact or to the intentions of the Meraglim, and he thought that this was a legitimate military mission, that the spies were simply going in to give the Jews advice on how to conquer it. They weren't going in to advise the Jews whether it was good or not. They were simply going to see which way to go into the land and which way to conquer. And Moshe thought this was a good idea, as we see throughout Nach, and he even does it again later on in Devarim. So that's the Ramban Shita. So that's the machlokas between the Ramban and Rashi. What was the purpose of sending out the spies? According to Rashi, it was one thing, like we said before, and according to the Ramban, it was a military mission. Okay? So one other interesting point here that I wanted to take up was about Yehoshua. So if you go back to source number 7, it says, Eile Shmos Anashim Asher Shalach Moshe Lasuras Aretz Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea Ben Nun Yehoshua. So Moshe calls Yehoshua, Yehoshua. His name was really Hoshea, and he calls him Yehoshua. And if you look in Rashi, it says, Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea Hispalo Alav Kal Yehoshiach LaMe'atzas Meraglim. So he davened for him, and the Yud is a reflection of the Tefillah, the Yud Hey in the beginning of Yehoshua is a reflection of the Tefillah that Moshe had, that he changed his name to reflect the idea or the tefillah that he had to save him from the Atzas Meraglim. What kind of idea is it that he changed his name and that he had to daven for him? What was the nature of this tefillah? Why was he scared for Yehoshua? That's another question. Meaning Yehoshua was a great person. He was a student of Moshe. So what exactly was he scared about with regard to Yehoshua? And then there's one other question on this idea in the Torah. So the Torah is telling us that Moshe called him Yehoshua here. Why? Because he davened for him, and his name was changed to Yehoshua as a result of the tefillah. But if you look, there's another medrash by Yehoshua. It's a famous medrash. Does anybody know this? Where did the Yud come from to Yehoshua's name from? Does anybody on the phone line know this medrash? So there's another medrash that says that it came from Sarah. Look in number 12. It's Rav Chaim Paltiel, and it says, Vayikra Moshe Yehoshua ben Nun Yehoshua, Im Tomar Valok Far Nikra Shemo Yehoshua Bekama Mekomos. So he says that Yehoshua, he's called Yehoshua throughout the Torah. So why does it say over here that he was called Yehoshua? Shnemar Vayomer Moshe Yehoshua Bechar Lanu Anashim V'Simbos Ne Yehoshua. So there are many psukim before this that he's called Yehoshua. So why does it mention it over here? V'Yishlomer Devadei Kon Lachen Nikra Shemo Yehoshua Shrei Amru Medr Shayud Asasa Tarumos. He was called Yehoshua because the Yud was quarreling with Nehemiah Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he was complaining. Kishesira Misara, when Sarah's original name was Sarai, and the Yud was removed from Sarah, and she turned into Sarah. The Amar La Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the Yud says to Hashem, Ani Misimcha B'Shem Tzadik V'Hu Yehoshua. So he was complaining, and Hashem says, I'm gonna put the Yud of Sarai into Yehoshua's name. The Hachi Pashat Amikra Amar Moshe Atahu Eishet Tikra Yehoshua Mishum Ka Yoshia Chamatzis Meraglim. So now is the time that you should be called Yehoshua because of this tefillah. But there's two midrashim. There's two ideas. One is that Moshe called him Yehoshua because of the tefillah of Ka Yoshiacha, that Hashem should save you. And the other reason he's called Yehoshua is because the Yud from the name Sarai was removed from Sarai, and the Yud complains to Hashem and says, I want to be attached to Sarah's name. So he says, Hashem says, fine, I'll give you to Yehoshua. So is there a relationship between these two ideas, between the idea of the Yud coming from Moshe's tefillah and the Yud coming from Sarai? And it's also, just look in the Torah Tmima in source number 13, it says, it quotes the Medrash from, it's a Yerushalmi actually, it says, Tana Rav Hoshea, Yud shenital me'imenu Sarah, the Yud that was taken from Sarah, Allah v'nishtateach lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Amar, he was complaining, Ribon Olam, Akrasani Min Tzedekes Hazos, you've removed me from this great Tzedekes. Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tzei Lecha, L'Sha'avar Yisa Nasun B'Shem Nekeva V'Sof Teva. Originally, you were attached to Sarah, a woman, and you were at the end of her name. Chayach Ash, Aninose Incha B'Shem Zachar, I'm going to put you in the front of a male, Yoshua, over Rosh Tevan at the beginning of his name. Hado dechsiv ekra Moshe lo Hoshiah ben Nun Yoshua. So in the Yerushalmi quotes our pasuk for that Moshe called him Yoshua because of from Sarai. He took the yud from Sarai and added to Yoshua. So from the Yerushalmi, it sounds like it's a contradiction because it sounds either is the yud of Yoshua, is it coming from the tefillah of Moshe, or is the yud of Yoshua coming from the name of Sarai, that it was removed from Sarai and attached to Yoshua? And just look at the psukim. Look in source number 15. It says, "Vayomer Elokim el Avraham Sarai ishtecha lo sikra eshema Sarai ki Sarah shema." That her name should no longer be Sarai, but her name should now be Sarah. So the yud from Sarai was transferred to Yoshua. So what is that idea? What kind of idea is it that a yud from one name is attached to another name? And is there a relationship between Yoshua and the tefillah of Moshe and the yud of Sarai? Because the Yerushalmi says it was the yud from Sarai, and Rashi, quoting a different medrash, says that it was the yud from his tefillah. So is there a connection between the two? Okay, that's the question. So I think that there's a nice idea here, a beautiful idea, actually, that the Midrashim are pointing at about Yoshua. So it was Yoshua's, look at source number 15. What was Yoshua's personality? What was his main feature? So in source number 15, it says, in Shemos Perek Lama Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'diber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim, kasher yidaber ish al re'eu, v'shav el machneu misharso, Yoshua ben Na'ar lo yamish mitocha o'ah. So Yoshua never left Moshe's tent. He was always with Moshe. So the idea is that Yoshua, part of his personality was that he was really attached to Moshe. Moshe was his rabbi, but to the point where he never left him. In fact, there's a story earlier on by Har Sinai when Moshe comes down to Kisisa and Yoshua was not involved in the eagle. He wasn't with the rest of the Machaneh. He waited at the bottom of Har Sinai for Moshe, his teacher, and he was always with Moshe. So this is similar to the idea I was saying before, but however, in the framework of Yoshua, the idea seems to be that Yoshua had a personality that Moshe thought was potentially susceptible to, not because he was a bad person, but because Moshe was nervous. Because Yoshua spent all of his time around Moshe, and he was always around Moshe, he was insulated. And now he was going out into Eretz Yisrael with these other powerful leaders of the Jewish people, and he was afraid that Yoshua wasn't going to be able to stand up, or that Yoshua, because of his personality and his attachment to Moshe, that he would somehow be affected by the Atzas Meraglim. Because Moshe was concerned that Yoshua had never left him, and Yoshua was extremely tied to the security of Moshe. So that's why Moshe had to daven, Ka Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim, meaning he was trying to teach Yoshua an idea by changing his name, that Yoshua should attach himself to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the primary, in this mission, so that he should be saved. That he shouldn't be tied to the security of Moshe, because now Moshe was concerned that he would be separated from him, so he wanted Yoshua to remember this idea. He wanted Yoshua to have this idea in mind that Hashem should save him, that he should rely on Hashem, he should be more reliant on Hashem, and forget about the fact that Moshe is not there. But there's another, what's the Yud of Sarai? I think it ties in. So why was Sarah's name changed to Sarah instead of Sarai? So Rashi says over there, I'll read you inside, I didn't put it in the source sheet, I should have. Rashi says, Lo sikra shema Sarai, demashma Sarai li, that Sarai means to me, she's like my Sarah, velo lacherim, and not to anybody else, ki Sarah stam shema, shetehe Sarah ala kol. Sarah means like somebody who's for everybody, somebody who's for the whole world, like Avraham. Avraham and Avraham, Avhamon Goyim, so too by Sarah, that Sarah is now, she's not just for me, she's not just for Hashem, she's not just limited, but now she's for everybody, she's the leader, she's for everybody, she's meant for everybody. So the idea of the Yud was the idea of privacy, it was the idea of Sarai, she's mine. We have a separate relationship. Hashem has a relationship with Sarai, and now it's changed to Sarah, that she should become a public figure, and she should be the leader of the Jewish people, one of the leaders and the founders. So her name was changed because she should take on a different role. Usually a name change is that a person should see themselves with a different identity. So her name was changed from a more private name, Sarai, mine, meaning to Sarah, to a more national name. So the idea of the Yud is that it was attached to a certain idea of Sarah. And it wasn't a corrupted idea. It wasn't a flawed idea. It was actually an idea in Sarah that Sarah was able to maintain, you know, a very private relationship of with HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of a public, outside of her persona and her role as a leader of the Jewish people. So Moshe was also trying, the idea of the Yehoshua over here is that Yehoshua should cling to that idea, meaning that he was being appointed as a leader with the other leaders, and Moshe was afraid that Yehoshua would perhaps be affected by this status as a leader. And he wanted to remind Yehoshua of the opposite of the ka of the Sarai, of the idea of Sarai, of the idea of a private relationship with Hashem outside of the public role, the public persona. So it's a similar idea to the ka Yoshiacha, and both ideas in the Midrashim are trying to show you that Moshe was concerned that Yehoshua was separated from him, and that he would be, as a result of the separation, psychologically, he would be somewhat open to being corrupted. So Moshe's trying to give him some type of insight or advice to try to protect himself from that corruption. And the insight was that despite the fact that Yehoshua is being separated from Moshe and he's in a position of leadership now, he's one of the heads of Ephraim, he needs to remember the private persona like Sarai had, the private persona outside of the public one, and try to develop that and try to focus on that in order to prevent any corruptibility from the Meraglim. So that was his idea. That was Moshe's advice or idea to Yehoshua. Okay? So really, it's not such a complicated shiur, just three main ideas to summarize. The first idea was Rashi. Rashi's point was that there was a potential for harm here in the Meraglim, but there was also a potential for greatness. And Moshe recognized that it was integral for the Jews to separate themselves from him in order to go into Eretz Yisrael properly and be able to conquer the land. So on the one hand, Moshe saw the potential danger, and he didn't really want them to go. He would rather them decide on their own to not go and base their security on Hashem, but that wasn't going to happen. So even though that didn't happen, he allowed them to go, and so did Hashem, because of this potential perfection that could have emerged. But on the other hand, he also saw this, he saw the fate and he saw the flaw that could have come about, and it did end up coming about. So that was the idea in Rashi. The second idea was the Ramban. The Ramban was showing you that it wasn't for an idea in perfection, or it was an idea in military that Moshe was really duped a little bit. He believed that this is really just a military mission, and really he was wrong, and they really corrupted the Jewish people. And the last idea was Yehoshua, that Yehoshua's personality was such that he needed his name to be changed, or there was a benefit to his name being changed. And what was the benefit? That really Moshe wanted him to change his identity somewhat and focus on ideas that could prevent his being corrupted by the other Meraglim. And what were those ideas? One is that despite the fact that he's not around Moshe, he should find security in Hashem and trust in Hashem, that he should be saved by Hashem. And that's an idea in his identity. And the second idea, which is also similar, is the idea of Sarai, which is the Yod of Sarai is attached to the concept of Sarah's private relationship with Hashem outside of her public leadership role and her persona. And Moshe was trying to give Yehoshua that insight that he should see himself as Yehoshua, not just as the public Meragel and the leader of his tribe, but he should also recognize the value of the private relationship established with Hashem that Sarah really, or Sarai, the name of Sarai really reflected or represented. All right? Okay, thank you, everybody. Anybody have any questions?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Say.